All right, welcome everybody. Samoa Don Ivries, Hebrew Club. It's good to see everybody here. For those of you that might not know, Moadon is club, and then Ivri is, of course, Hebrew. So in English, it's literally club Hebrew. So I like that because it's a double entendre. You see, you can understand club in two ways. Got it? See, y'all? See? They almost laughed. We are actually continuing our study of 1 Samuel, and we're on chapter 9. Once again, all this stuff is available at iTunes U, so you can download past sessions and catch up if you'd like. Feel free, for those of you who are new here, I'll pause after every verse to kind of ask questions and to give you guys time to ask questions about anything in the text. All right. So if you don't know a verb form or some other construction, please feel free to ask, and I'll be happy to talk about it. We'll try to cover basically 10 or so verses a time. Whenever you feel like you have to leave, just get up and leave. It's no problem at all, okay? So we're going to actually start with verse 1. And remember, the people have just demanded a king. Samuel, at the request of God, has relented and sent them all back to their cities. And so now we're at the next stage, dealing specifically with Saul. Verse 1. Vayahi ish mibinyamin ushimokish ben Aviel ben Zeror ben Bekorat ben Apiah ben ish yamini a gibor chayil. Okay. Vayahi. Now there was a man from Binyamin, from Benjamin. You're going to see that a lot in various forms here in the next few verses. From Benjamin, Ushimo. And his name was Kish, the son of Aviel, who was the son of Zeror, who was the son of Bekorat, who was the son of Apiah, who was the son of Ish Yemini. Again, Ish Yemini is an abbreviation for Ish Ben Yemini, okay, a Benjamite person. You'll see this another form like this in a few verses. Okay, notice the Atnach after Yemini, so you kind of pause there. Notice that the author is giving a lengthy genealogy, and we saw this in chapter 1, verse 1 as well. And notice that in so doing, he seems to imply that Kish is from a rather prominent lineage. Okay, he has a prominent ancestry. All right. Then you have the last two words, Gibor Chayil. Gibor is an adjective, but also used as a substantive. Sometimes a hero, it's translated, or a mighty person of Chayil. Could be strength or wealth, something like that. Okay. So really, you could say a mighty person of strength, or a very strong person, or a hero of wealth. Right, it depends on how you want to translate both those words. Okay? Any questions on verse 1? About the grammar? Alright, good. Verse 2. Velohaya bain ushimo sha'ul bachur vatov v'ein ish mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu mishikmo v'ma'la gavoa mikol ha'am. Okay. And to him there was a son. Okay, now notice the accents here. It helps you in your reading. You have notice haya bain the accent over bain is a disjunctive accent, so kind of pause there. And to him there was a son, Ushimo, and his name was Shaul. Bachur vato. Okay, notice that that means a young man. Bachar, does anyone know the root of Bachar? What does that mean?
Choose.
Yeah, to choose. Okay, so sometimes it's translated, you know, as a choice person. But here, a young man, vatov, and good. We would probably translate it as handsome. Okay, a young man and handsome. Pause, notice the zakef above the tov. V'ain, and now it goes on to explain a little bit more about Saul. All right, notice that whenever someone of prominence is introduced, he is usually tov, he's usually handsome. You see that with David as well, okay? V'ain, and there was not a man, mith b'nei Yisrael, from the Israelites, gooder than him. All right, notice the comparative min here. It's good plus the min, so you would translate that, of course, in English. Better looking than him. He was the Brad Pitt of the Book of Samuel. All right. Mi-shikmo. Again, you have the preposition min plus the noun Shechem plus the suffix. From his shoulder. Okay. From his shoulder. Va-ma-la. What's the root behind ma-la? Anyone see it? What is it? Very common.
Allah.
Allah means to what? To go up, to ascend. Notice you put a mem in front of a root. Very often it becomes a noun of some sort. And here, it's an adverb. The adverb is ma'al, mem, ein, lamed, plus the locative he. So it's literally to the upward, to the up. Or in English we would say upwards. So from his shoulder and up. From his shoulder and up, gavo means high. Okay, it's an adjective, high. And notice you have another comparative min there. High than all the people. But we would say taller than all the people. Alright? So to him was a son, and his name was Saul, a young man and handsome. And there was not a man from the Israelites better looking than he. From his shoulder and upwards, he was high. He was taller than all the people. All right. Questions about verse 2? Any forms? All right. Verse 3. Va-tovadna ha-atonot le-kishavi Sha'ul. Va-yomer kish el Sha'ul beno. Kachna teka et achad me-ha-ne'arim ve-kum lake. Bakesh et ha atono. Okay, now, what's the root for ta avadna, the first word of verse 3? Ta avadna. Or to avadna. Everyone see? From avad, what does it mean? Right, to be lost or to perish. Right. The next word is ha atonot. Aton is an ass, specifically a female ass. So the asses belonging to Kish. Notice that lamed of possession. The asses belonging to Kish, the Avi, the father of. Notice that construct for Av, Avi, the Yud is attached there. The father of Shaul went astray. Okay? They were lost. Vayomer. So Kish said to Shaul beno, his son, Kachna. Notice that that's from Lakach, an imperative. With a particle of politeness, as you might expect. He's making a polite request to his son here. Please take Itika with you, et achad, one from the ne'arim, one from the servants. Notice that's just a plural of a very common word, na'ar, a young person or sometimes servant. Take from one of the servants, vekum, imperative, from kum, lake, imperative, from halak, and Bakesh, a PL imperative from Bakash. Okay? Kum Lake Bakesh. Get up, go look, or seek, look for the Atonot, look for the asses. Notice the string of imperatives there. Alright? Just kind of almost simultaneous action. Alright, good. Any questions about verse 3? Alright, we're making good progress. Verse 4. Vayavar behar Ephraim, vayavor be'eretz Shalisha, golomatza'u. Okay, so he passed over, vayavor, behar Ephraim, into the mountain region of Ephraim. Vayavor, and he passed into the land of Shalisha, velo, but they did not matzah, but they did not find. And notice very often, as we've seen in this narrative, the direct object is not here. In English, we'd probably supply something, but they did not find them. All right? Vayavdu, vayavru, and then they passed over into the land of Shalim. Ba'ain, you can guess how to translate that, but they weren't there. Ba'ain. It's not that they did not exist, but they didn't find them there. Notice it's just kind of shorthand. Vayavor, and he passed into the land of Yemini. Here again you have the abbreviation. In long it would be Eretz Ben Yemini, the land of Benjamin. Okay, velo matsa'u. But they did not find, and they yet supplied them. Okay. Questions about any of the forms in verse 4? Alright. Notice verse...
Is there a reason it goes from singular to plural in the verse?
See, notice, if you'll notice in the apparatus, I didn't really take time to stop there, but there are the versions have the plural there. And so there, I don't think there's any reason, I don't know, at least rhetorically or anything like that. So you do have different traditions as far as the what the right text is. And you know, we've seen that before in Samuel, right? There seems to be a lot of that stuff going on. Good. When we get to verse 5, notice what it does not start with. What doesn't it start with?
Above
consecutive, right? Notice you have the pronoun, and again, well, let's just read it. Hema, ba'u be'eretz zuf, ve'sha'ul, amar le'na'aro, asher imo, leka ve'nashuva. Okay. They came to the land of Zuf. Notice the ba'u is from bo, call, perfect third, masculine plural. They came to the land of Zuf. Right, now remember, Zuf was where Samuel was from. Remember from chapter 1, verse 1? They came to the land of Zuf, and Saul said to his servant who was with him, Imo, who was with him. Okay. Now notice what you're asking yourself, okay, is how is this clause related to what follows? It's just a different word order, and it might be because, you know, is the author highlighting it? Does it have that kind of function, or is it just a matter of style? You know, he's telling this story, and again, we've seen these kind of clauses before where you expect the vav consecutive, but it doesn't happen. And so it's kind of hard to say, okay, is there some rhetorical force meant here? Is there something semantically that he's conveying, or is it a kind of a stylistic feature that may be a little nuanced that it's hard for us to kind of discern, all right? A lot of translations simply say, kind of continue with a temporal meaning. When they came to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him. All right. Now notice the next two forms. Leka, what is that form? We've seen it before. What's the root? It's from halak. It's a call imperative. What's unusual about it? Notice he got the comma's hey at the end of an imperative. You usually find these things on what? Cohortatives, remember? Here you have the hey on an imperative. All right. Notice in verse 3, kum, lake, bakesh, you don't have it. You just have the normal form. Here you have it. Remember, I don't know if I've said it here, but I've mentioned this before, that very often when the verb following it is a first person, either singular or plural verb, you have the hay added to lake. And notice that's the case here. Notice the next word is nashuva, from shuv, a cohortative first common plural. Some linguists suggest that hay on imperatives like this indicates action for the benefit of or directed towards the speaker, or in the interest of the speaker, which in this case would be Saul. Okay, who's saying this in his own interest. But you very often have this combination, leka plus first-person verb. That's where it comes. All right. So again, it would be, come on, and let's return from Shu. Let's go back. Notice the atnot there. Let's go back. Pen, lest, yechdal avi, lest my father, from chadal to stop, lest my father stop, and again you have to kind of supply, stop thinking about min, atonot, about the asses, that da'ag, and instead he becomes anxious, da'ag, starts to worry, lanu, about us. All right, again, notice how the prepositions are working with the verbs. It's literally lest my father stop from the asses and become anxious towards us. All right, so I've just kind of rendered it in smoother English. All right, any questions about verse 5? All right, notice now he picks up with the vav consecutive again, as you might expect. It's kind of interesting. So as we go through the narrative, we'll kind of point these out and just look and see how these things are working and where they come up. All right? Verse 6. Vayomer lo, hinena, ish Elohim bahir hazot. Okay? And he said to him, hinena. Look here. Again, you have this kind of particle of politeness. Please look. Ish Elohim. A man of God, or maybe the man of God, ba'ir hazot, is in the city of this. Is in this city. So evidently they were coming up to a village or a city in the area that they were in. Ve'ha'ish, and the man, nikbad, is honored. Okay, notice that is a nifal participle from kavad. Remember, passive forms, nifals, puals, hafals, past call passive participles very often function to modify nouns as adjectives. And here you have it. The man is nikbad, an honorable one, or he is honored. Notice the pause there helps you read. The zakeif, everybody see that over the nikbad? He is honored. The pause. Kol asher yedaber. Notice how this clause now explains why he is honored or held in esteem. Everything which yedaber, which he says, okay, bo yavo. What kind of form is bo yavo? You notice that construction right away when you see two words of the same root. You can kind of guess what the bo is. What is that? Good. It's an infinitive absolute. Notice that very often the infinitive absolute precedes a finite verb of the same root. Usually the same aspect, but not always. But here they're both call. What's the function of the infinitive absolute? Remember I said that you can kind of discern two functions. One of the functions is to emphasize the idea in the verb, which I don't think is the case here. The second function, which I think is the case here, is that the speaker is making a strong commitment to the truth of what he says. So, everything which he speaks surely does happen, does come true. See, everything which he speaks does indeed happen. So notice he's strongly committed to the truth of this assertion. So you have the bo yavo. Alright? It's not that it comes true, it really comes in some big coming way. See? But rather his commitment is very strong to the truth of what he's saying. He's very committed to this. Everything which he says certainly does come true. So that's how I would probably translate it in English. Okay? Ata. So, Nelaka Sham. Let us go there. What's the root of Nelaka? From Halak again. We're getting a lot of Halak forms here. Again, you have the cohortative, call, first common plural. Let us go there. Notice the pause, Sham. Ulai Yagid Lanu. Perhaps, that's what Ulai means. Perhaps, Yagid, he will tell us. What's the root? From Nagad. Remember this word occurs in the Hifil. Doesn't mean to cause. Here's a form that is Hifil. Not causative as you learned it in Hebrew. Alright? It's an imperfect and it simply means to tell or report. So perhaps he will tell to us, pause, et darkenu. He will tell us our way. Okay, so maybe he'll tell us about our way. Now notice what kind of clause is this. Asher halaknu aleha. What kind of clause is that? With the asher, you know right away. Identified as a relative clause. What's happening at the end of it? Notice what's at the end, the aleha. What do we call that? Remember, anyone? It's called a resumptive pronoun. In Hebrew, the pronouns come at the end. In English, you always have to translate them at the beginning of the relative clause. So literally, it's perhaps he'll tell us about our way, which we have gone on it. See? Which we have gone on it. But in English, you would say, you'd simply move that to the beginning of the relative clause. Perhaps he will tell us about our way upon which we have gone. All right? So he expected him to tell him something about the journey, maybe what it was about, what was happening, you know, maybe where the asses were, hopefully. All right. Questions about verse 6? Yes?
The last line, Sham has a dot in it.
Okay, it is simply a dogish, and I think that it's there. Notice that the word before it, see, the phenomenon in Hebrew is called sandi, S-A-H-N-D-I or S-A-N-D-I, I can't remember. But anyway, remember that in Hebrew, words are closely connected, and the connection between the words changes sometimes the shape of the vowels, remember, underneath them, and the way that they are pronounced. And so I think that this word, notice that the word before it has a conjunctive accent, and the sham there, it links those words together, so that probably has something to do with the pronunciation. And other than that, I don't know what the function of it is. Okay, but it's there because it's influenced by the previous word. Alright. Verse 7. Vayomer Shaul lena'aro. Okay. Then Saul said to his servant, Vehinene lake. Okay, now notice it's a little awkward. Something like this. But look. Vehinene. So notice, but look, ne lake umanavi. It's literally, but look, we will go, and what will we bring? Right. Notice Ne Lake is from what root? From Halak. Again, here's a call, imperfect, first common, plural, from Halak. Now notice what Navi is from. It's from the root Bo, and here it's a Niphal form. Alright, first common, plural. Notice that Bo in the call means to go or to enter. So the hifil is not causative. It goes from intransitive to transitive. What will we bring to the man? So it's something like this. But look, when we go, or if we go, then what should we bring to the man? Ki halekim, for the food, azal, has disappeared, or has become used up from keilenu, from our vessels, literally, but probably from our lunch boxes. I used to carry a Spider-Man lunchbox, so that's what it is. Okay. From our knapsacks or our whatever they are, luggage. Uteshura. Here's a hapax legomenon, so you can see it and then forget it as soon as you see it. And a gift there is not. See? So literally, we are more idiomatic. We don't have a gift, lehavi, to bring to the man of God. Ma itanu. What do we have with us? See, what is with us? What got we? Okay? It is interesting that here, commentaries have noticed already kind of Saul's lack of understanding as to what's going on. The fact that he didn't know about this man of God, remember, Samuel. Remember from the first chapter, everyone knew about Samuel. And Saul didn't. And also some commentaries have noticed that here he was a donkey wrangler, an ass wrangler, implied is something about his character here, you know, the stubbornness about his character. And I don't know how far you want to push that. I won't go to the wall for that. But it is interesting that he didn't know about Samuel, you know. All right. Verse 8. Vayosef hana'ar la'anot et Sha'ul. Vayosef from Yasaf. Here's our famous construction that we have seen before. The hifil from Asaf, it's literally, and the servant added la'anot to answer, from ana. Call, infinitive construct, and remember what we do with those? Anyone remember when we see the Asaf plus the infinitive construct in English? We automatically make the infinitive the finite verb, and the Yosef would be an adverb. Remember, Hebrew has a number of strategies to make adverbs because there's a dearth of adverbs in Hebrew. And one of the ways is to use asa. So we would translate it again. See? So the servant answered Saul again. Literally, and the servant added to answer Saul. Vayomer, and he said, Hine, look, nimsa, this is a nifal participle, look, there is found beyadi in my hand. Reva, that's from, you know the word arba'a, four. Here's reva, a fourth or a quarter. A quarter of a shekel of silver. And that really is the subject of the participle. Look, a fourth of a shekel of silver is found in my hand. I got a fourth of a shekel of silver. Ve natati. And I can give it, again you don't have the, notice the object, and I can give it to the man of God. The Higid. And then he will tell us at Darkanu. He will tell us about our journey. Alright, again, the Higid is from Nagad, Hifil, perfect, 3MS. Okay? Any questions about verse 8?
What's the root Asa?
Okay, that Yosef, it's from, yes, Asa. I'm sorry, it's from Yasaf, to add. Yeah. Yasa, Hiphil from Yasa. Okay? Okay. Now verse 9. Here's a parenthesis right in the middle of the text. Really interesting one. Lefanim beYisrael. You know the Lamed plus Panim faces? Here's another adverb. Formerly beYisrael. In Israel, Ko Amar Ha'ish. Thus the man, and in English we probably say a person, a man, the situation being described here is kind of a habitual situation, a customary situation. Notice there's a perfect verb. Usually, when you're talking about habitual situations in the past, use an imperfect, unless the context makes it very clear, then you can use a perfect. Just like in English, past tense, simple past. He went to the store. We would normally interpret that as a one-time event, but it also has a potential to be customary action, depending on the context. Every day he went to the store, see? So here, formerly in Israel, thus a man said, Belekto, in his going. Again, you have, this is a call infinitive construct from Halak again, okay? When you have a preposition in front of it, one of the first things you want to think about, maybe temporal, not always. But here it certainly is. So thus the man said, when he went, Lidrosh, to seek God. Darash. Okay? So again, formerly in Israel, thus a person said when he went to seek God. Here's what he would say. Leku. Halak, call, imperative, masculine, plural. Come on, Ve'nelka, again from Halak. Boy, if you knew Halak, you'd get halfway through this thing with no problem. Come on, and let's go to Haroeth. Let's go to the seer. Notice that that's a call participle from Ra'ah, used as a substantive. Come, let's go to the seer. Okay, now notice this next construction. Ki lanavi hayom yikare lefanim Haroeth. Okay. For, now notice the verb, yikare. Right, a nifal imperfect from kara. It was called, and notice the construction is kind of idiomatic. Okay, for hayom, today or now, he who is called the prophet. Okay, so more in English, for now, for the one who is called a prophet now, let. Panim formerly was called Haroeth, the seer. And that's kind of a parenthesis right in the middle of the thing. And very often you have the nifal of kara plus a lamed onto the noun. See, so it's literally formerly or today it is called to the prophet. Or in English it just doesn't make sense. You have to kind of smooth it out. For today, the one who is called a prophet formerly was called the seer. Did everybody kind of see that? All right. Any questions on verse 9? Okay, verse 10. Vayomer Shaul. This is the last verse we'll do here, and then we'll let you go. Then Saul said to Na'aro, to his servant, Tov Devarach, at least he was smart enough to see this, good is your word. All right. Lekah. Neleka, here it is again. And notice the hey at the end of it. come on, and let's go. Pause. Vayelku, so halak, so they halaked. So they went to Ha'ir, the city, which there was the Ish HaElohim, where there was the man of God. Okay? Good. Any questions up through 10? All right. We will stop there. Thank you very much. And we will continue with the next scene in which Saul meets Samuel. Take care.